This is Bill Monroe inviting you to meet the press with Governor George Wallace of Alabama.
Meet the Press, America's press conference of the air, is a public affairs presentation of NBC News.
Our guest today on Meet the Press is Governor George Wallace of Alabama, candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination. Governor Wallace has not yet won a primary, but he has won 86 delegates to the Democratic convention. 5 days ago, he received 35% of the vote in North Carolina to 54% for Jimmy Carter. We'll have the first questions now from Kenley Jones of NBC News.
Governor, after you lost the North Carolina primary to Mr. Carter, you said publicly for the first time that it would be difficult for you to get the nomination. That being the case, why are you continuing with your campaign?
Well, being difficult doesn't mean that it's not possible, but I like to at least have some semblance of telling the truth to the press, and I think everyone knows that when you lose a primary or two, it makes it more difficult for you to win the nomination. And I was just frankly telling the truth. It is more of an uphill fight, but the primaries are not over, and the delegates have all not been chosen, and I'm still number two in delegates in the country.
Well, Governor, if you continue to enter these primaries, and if you continue to lose, aren't you in danger of losing any influence you might have had at the convention?
Well, very iffy questions, if we continue to lose, and if. It's hard for me to answer questions that are very speculative and so conjectural and so iffy. But the point is this, is that nearly every candidate now drinks from the same well and the same dipper as I have a long time, and I'm in this for the purpose of seeing also not only a bona fide candidate, but also to keep them all honest, because I want the Democratic Party back to being the party of the great middle class in the United States.
Well, Governor, what would you hope to do with the block of delegates that you may go to the convention with? What would you do with those when you got there?
I've never been in a convention that of the sort you're speaking of, and I don't know. But those block of delegates, however they may, many they may be, are going to be delegates that are going to be used for the purpose of achieving what we've always wanted to achieve, and that is the Democratic Party back to being the party of the people.
Thank you, Governor Wallace. In addition to Kenley Jones of NBC News, the other questioners on our panel today are Haynes B. Johnson of the Washington Post and Vic Gold, syndicated columnist. We'll continue the questions now with Mr. Johnson.
Governor, just to follow up on Mr. Jones's questions a moment ago, you have been losing. 4 years ago, you were telling the country you were going to send a message to Washington, to the politicians. What happened, Governor? Why do you think, how do you attribute your losses this year?
Well, the message was so well received by the establishment that everyone else now is sending the same message. And many people have perceived that possibly others are more able to get to Washington than George Wallace, because they've made quite a bit about my health, the fact that I was shot. Nothing wrong with my health. I'm in good shape. But the message did get there, and it also got to these candidates who are now running, because all of them sound almost identically like I sounded in 1972.
But Governor, that doesn't answer the question why in the South, for instance, your own part of the country, you've now lost two big primaries. North Carolina, you got 35% of the vote. Florida, you lost there. 4 years ago, you were winning in the South. What does that say about your political future?
That says that that the message has been well received by those who are now running for the presidency. In 1972, I had won well by myself. In fact, the issues that I raised were not raised by the others, and the negative and positive aspects of the campaign in 1972 I had alone by myself. Now all of them are saying the same thing, and as a consequence, that may have diluted the strength that I have, but it hasn't diluted the strength of the positions that I've taken. And therefore, I'm still in the race because I still take those positions as the first person that warned the people of this country about big government eventually becoming their master. And as a consequence, I'm still involved. And I know that in 1972, the first few primaries, Mr. McGovern lost, but he wound up being the nominee. So the primaries are not over, and the die has not been cast, and there are many more people to vote. I have 1,090,000 votes, not entering two primaries, and second in number of delegates. I think that's pretty good when you think about the number who involved.
Governor, your fellow Southerner, Jimmy Carter, is now leading in the delegate race, and you've said some critical things about him recently. Could you support Mr. Carter for your party's nomination?
Well, it's very foreign to me to talk critically of anyone. I've never done so in campaigns before. But the Democratic Party, in my judgment, is going back to being the party of the people and represent the great middle class in this country. That is, a small businessman and a woman and farmer and the working people of our country. And therefore, if they embrace those doctrines and the candidate embraces them, then I, of course, expect to support the Democratic Party.
Mr. Gold?
Governor, I'd like to ask you about a non-candidate in the race, but one who's very voluble. Concerning the message which you've said that you're addressing to the people and you've been addressing, the word racism entered the campaign this past week when Senator Hubert Humphrey charged that some candidates running against the Washington establishment are actually delivering a racist message. I'd like to quote the senator exactly. Candidates who make an attack on Washington are making an attack on government programs, on the poor, on blacks, on minorities, on the cities. I'm continuing to quote Senator Humphrey. It's a disguised new form of racism, a disguised new form of conservatism. Would you comment on Senator Humphrey's statement?
Well, I think that's not correct in the sense that those who talk about Washington are racist. If that be the case, then the overwhelming majority of the people in this country are racist, and I do not believe that that is the case. I do believe that the government of our nation should pay more attention to the cities, which I think would help minority groups as much as anything that I can think of. But I do not agree with this statement that an attack on the Washington establishment and all the inflationary spending and giveaways and high taxes on the average citizen is against people because of race.
Yet Senator Humphrey, although he is not in any of the primaries, is being prominently mentioned as a possible Democratic nominee. Obviously, he hasn't gotten the message that you say has been delivered, and could you support Senator Humphrey? Could you support a candidate who did not, let me put it generally, could you support a candidate who did not get into any of the primaries, who was a choice at the convention?
Well, it would all depend upon the platform that the convention adopted, and I feel like that the candidate that's going to wind up with a nomination is one of those who are involved in the primaries.
In other words, you do not feel that Senator Humphrey or any other candidate who did not get involved in the primary should be considered at the convention or properly be considered?
No, I don't mean that they should not be considered, because anyone has a right to be considered by the delegates. And Senator Humphrey certainly has a right to run because he is well known and has quite a following in the country. But I do think it'll be very difficult for one who was not involved in the primaries, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not, it could not happen.
Would you like to extend an invitation here to Senator Humphrey to enter some of those primaries?
No, I don't extend an invitation enough in them already, and I'm trying to help eliminate some others.
Governor Wallace, is it a problem to your candidacy in 1976 that people remember such things as you're saying when you were elected governor in 63, inaugurated, describing white people as the greatest race ever to tread the earth? And they remember that Jimmy Carter said at his inauguration that, I say to you quite frankly that the time for racial discrimination is over, so that you have some people perceiving the two of you as having different attitudes on racial matters.
I didn't say that. I said the people of our particular region were great people and some of the greatest that ever trod the earth. And I still say that. I have no apologies for that. I did not say the white race. I did not say that. That was not my statement. And Mr. Carter, of course, I don't know what he said when he was inaugurated. I know when he ran appealing for the support of those who supported George Wallace in 1968 for president. And he used my name very glowingly in great numbers of his speeches in Georgia. So I cannot account for what he said. But I do say that the people of our particular region are some of the finest people that ever trod the earth. But that doesn't mean they are not fine in other parts of the United States. But I am very proud of the people of my part of the country. I have no apologies to make for them. I'm not one of these people who says that I am a different kind of Southerner. I am a Southerner. I'm proud of it. But you can be proud to be an Easterner, a Midwesterner, a Westerner, whatever you want to call it. Be proud to be an American.
Well, Governor, some years ago you were talking about segregation forever.
That's correct.
You were looked on as one of the country's best known segregationist. And when you have been asked questions on this subject in recent years, you have said that's no longer the issue, but you have not said, to my knowledge, that you no longer believe in segregation.
Segregation is a moot question, and integration is the law of the land, and it is a moot question. And therefore, we don't want to go back nor make any attempt to change what is now a fact accomplished. We did get into the legal arena, and we lost. We lost, that's over. Let's look forward and look after those people who are citizens of our state and country, and I remind you that in the last election in Alabama, I received the highest percentage of black vote that any candidate running for the presidency received in their last election. I was endorsed by nearly every black leader in Alabama. And yes, I did stand for the school system in our part of the country. I was not hypocritical about it, but I warned first, as the first national involvement in political campaign, that big government was someday going to become the master of people instead of their servant. And that is today coming true in the United States. The rest of these candidates are more followers. I have tried to be a leader. Now they are me too, and they are saying the same identical thing that I was saying. But I don't apologize. I am honest about it.
Well, Governor, as a presidential candidate in 1976 who once said that he favored segregation, are you unwilling at this point to say that at this point you do not any longer favor segregation?
No, segregation is out. It is gone. I no longer favor going back to any attempt to reinstall what we had years ago, which was separation.
Well, do you personally believe in it anymore?
I believe that we ought to have the system we have now, which is non-discrimination, which you can call integration.
Mr. Jones?
Governor, as part of the changes in your campaign as a result of these defeats in the primaries, your national campaign director, Mr. Snyder, says an appeal is going to be made to conservatives, not necessarily just Democrats, but conservatives to get out and work for you. And he's mentioned them, the members of the American Independent Party, the American Party, the Conservative Party, the Committee for a New Majority. Some of those groups have been working to make sure there's a third place spot on the ballots in the presidential election. And some groups have talked about drafting you as their candidate. Would you, under any circumstances, be a third-party candidate?
I'm very grateful that these groups that you're talking about even consider the fact that they would like to have me as a candidate on a third-party ticket. But I am running in the Democratic primaries, and I believe the Democratic Party is going back to becoming the party of the people, and therefore I do not look toward any third-party candidacy. But I am very grateful for their confidence, and I appreciate it.
Well, you've called Mr. Carter a warmed-over McGovern. If he became the nominee, do you think that would be going back to these principles you talked about?
Well, if he embraces the platform, and he'll have to do that if he becomes the nominee, but he's not the nominee yet. Let's wait and see who's the nominee.
But would you tell these people who are working on this third-party ticket today that under no circumstances would you accept a draft to run as a third-party candidate?
I see no circumstances under which I would accept a draft.
Mr. Johnson?
Governor, about your own future, would you accept it as a probable case that you will not be the Democratic nominee this year?
It's, of course, very many obstacles in front of my acquiring the nomination. There's no question about that, as they are in the path of anyone else. They will be in the path of Mr. Carter, Mr. Jackson, Mr. Udall, and you name it, Mr. Humphrey. It's going to be difficult, there's no question about it, but we are still going to be there to keep this national convention honest as far as platform is concerned and as far as their fight against big government is concerned.
Let's go on beyond that. About George Wallace, where do you see yourself, Governor, after this year? If you're not going to be the nominee and you're not going to be president, what do you see in your own political life?
I see myself as governor for nearly three more years in Alabama. And then, of course, my political career will probably be over.
Over in the sense that you wouldn't run for office again? Not for the
Senate?
No, sir,
I would not run for office again, in my judgment.
Mr. Gold?
Governor, in past years, you've claimed the Democratic Party establishment has ganged up on you. This year, I believe that you've made some of the same charges, and here we have Mr. Governor Carter on the other side, or on the same side, as some might say, also claiming he's the anti-establishment candidate. Do you believe that the establishment ganged up on you this year? And a two-part question, Do you also believe that now that Governor Carter has moved out in front, so to speak, that they might be ganging up on him?
I'm not sure whether they're ganging up on him or not. I can't answer that question because I don't know, but I think it's a known fact by all of you who are on this panel that the Democratic Party wanted to get rid of me. And right on this very program, one of the candidates, who is now out, said that we were asked not to go to Florida, or he said, I'm not going to Florida because I want Mr. Carter to beat Mr. Wallace. And I believe Sergeant Shriver said also that was Senator By. Sergeant Shriver and I believe Mr. Udall both have said they were asked not to come to Florida, where we can gang up and defeat George Wallace and get him out of the way. He's a nuisance, and we want to get him out of our hair. I think that's well known.
Do you see your future in terms of, first of all, how do you see your prospects in Wisconsin right now, and what would be your future, the future of your campaign, if you met with another defeat in Wisconsin, where you...
Well, I feel that I'm going to do well in Wisconsin because I think that I'm going to appeal to the farm people of that state, the working people of that state, because I have stood with the farm people ever since I've been involved, calling for at least 90% parity, and I've always talked about the importation of exotic cheeses and other things that have affected the dairy industry in that particular state. I believe that I express the viewpoint of the people of that state as well as anyone, but I realize, having lost a primary or two or three, that it will be more difficult than it has been in the past, but I expect to do well.
Governor, the polls have indicated that, and you have admitted yourself, that some people are reluctant to vote for you on account of worries about your health, even though they might agree with many of your stands. I wonder if you have any plan to cope with this issue, such as the possible appointment of a distinguished committee of doctors who might make a report to the American people?
I've already had a group of distinguished doctors to make that report to the American people, and all I can say is that it's not a matter of health. I have no disease, a problem of that sort. I was shot. I was paralyzed. I had an accident, you might say. And accidents and diseases are entirely different things, and therefore I'm paralyzed, but I'm not, I have no disease, so I'm all right. There's nothing that I can do to meet that other than the people accept my word for it.
Well, you have a political problem with it. Is there no way to cope with it? If you appointed 5 independent, distinguished, nationally known doctors, would that not help convince some people?
I've already had the distinguished, well-known doctors, head of various associations in the country, made the statement. Doctors in the state of Maryland, who are some of the best in the United States, like Dr. Shano and others, and Dr. Hamilton Hutchison and Dr. Galbraith at the University of Alabama and others. So I don't think you can go any further there. I'm not ashamed of being in a wheelchair. Take a look at it. Anybody wants to, take pictures of it. There's nothing wrong. Mr. Roosevelt was elected president 4 times in a wheelchair. Many people have forgotten that. Elected so many times that they had a constitutional amendment passed here some time ago to preclude that from ever happening again in the future. And I like to say, which is an aside, that some people have been running our government and paralyzed in the head, the way they've run it in the last number of years. And at least I'm not paralyzed in the head.
Governor, the doctors you cite, were they not, for the most part, men who had treated you? And some people might feel that they were friendly to you.
Well, they asked me to stay out of the political campaign of 72, that it would affect my health. And they say the very opposite today. They're concerned with me. And they wouldn't let me run, advise me not to run, if that was the case. So there's nothing I can do about that. I'm well and in good shape, 100%, and there's nothing wrong with me.
Mr. Jones?
Governor, you say that other candidates are taking your positions. Is that your way of saying that you've received a philosophical victory in these primaries, even though you haven't gotten the most votes?
I feel that the people that I've supported and spoken for, and who supported me, have won a philosophical victory in that today they're in the majority. And as a consequence, other candidates now in the Democratic Party are moving toward those positions. Governor Noel of Rhode Island, the governor of the Democratic Caucus, said that we must move closer to those positions of George Wallace some months ago. And the candidates have done so. I think that means that the people that I have represented and articulated their positions for today in the majority in the United States, and it is a philosophical victory, but I want to go further than that because I want the people to know that I really mean it and that I was the one who led, that I am really concerned about the existence of the middle class in this country, that if they go out of existence through high regressive federal taxes while we exempt those sheltered rich on the one hand, we're going to eventually destroy the free enterprise system in this country and bring about more socialist government like we have in Great Britain, which is about to take the nation down the drain. And I believe that it's time for that to come to a halt.
But if you were the first one to say that, why do you think people are voting for someone else now? Why aren't they voting for you?
Well, of course, being the first one that says it doesn't necessarily that eventually all vote for you, because they now have a number of people to choose from, and everybody's drinking out of the same dipper, except some of them take bigger swallows than I took in the last few weeks or months. And on top of that, they perceive, of course, the health problem.
Well, Governor, talking about the...
We have about three minutes. Mr. Johnson.
Governor, on this question of the big government, you've talked about it for many years. You did again on this program about balancing the budget and so forth and taxes. And yet, how do you explain the fact that in Alabama, during your tenure as governor, going back to 62, the number of employees in the state payroll has increased, the level of spending has increased at a much greater rate than the federal government.
Yes, here in the... I'll have a good answer for that. Mr. Carter, when he was governor, he rose from 49,000 to 60,000. But that doesn't necessarily mean that...
I'm not talking about Mr. Carter.
Well, I know, but that doesn't mean they were bureaucrats. I'm sort of defending that position. In Alabama, we started on a massive highway program, a massive hospital program, programs that needed to be in existence. And those people are engineers. Those people are doctors. Those people are serving the people. They are not bureaucrats. And there's a great difference in an engineer working to build a highway system in Alabama that we needed, which is one of the best in the South, and also a new hospital program and medical school program and junior college and trade school programs, which has enhanced the wealth and income of Alabamians, and brought around $10 billion worth of new industry to the state. Those are not bureaucrats. Those are new employees, but they're not all that many. We have the lowest per capita number of employees per state in the union.
Mr. Gold?
Governor, quick question. It's hard to conceive of a political climate in this country, political scene, with George Wallace not active, and it's very difficult to see in Alabama particularly, and in the South with George Wallace not active in some way. If I understood you correctly, you said you would never again be a candidate for office. Would that include any member of your family?
Well, you're probably talking about my fine wife who stuck with me and helped bring me back to health and safety, and I'm very proud of it because I don't think she is interested. You'd have to ask her. But I know this, that she's a fine woman, and she really looked after me during the time that I was in the hospital sick, and I don't know whether she's interested or not. She is interested in the home and children and has been interested in my getting well, and I did get well. But I don't know. We'll just have to ask her. I don't think she's inclined.
Governor, we don't have many seconds left, but I wonder if you have some idea about what we could do about Cuban troops if they were to attack Rhodesia.
Well, of course, they haven't attacked Rhodesia yet, and I think that to answer a question about what you would do in advance, even if you knew, and I do not have all the information that the State Department has about this particular matter, and to say in advance what you would do on a speculative question is something that I cannot answer, but I hope that does not happen.
I'm sorry to interrupt, but our time is up. Thank you very much, Governor Wallace, for being with us today on Meet the Press. Next Sunday on Meet the Press, our guest will be another Democratic presidential candidate, Congressman Mo Udall of Arizona. Now, this is Bill Monroe saying goodbye for Governor George Wallace and Meet the Press.